Genesis chapter 1, and while you're turning there, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for the word of the Lord. And you said in your word, the word of the Lord is tried, Father, but it stands every single time. So I thank you today, Father, for the word of God to bring forth fruit in all of our lives in a supernatural, abundant way today, Father. And we just take authority over any distractions, anything the enemy would try to bring confusion or distractions so that we can't receive from the Word. And we say, Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. You have no place, you have no lot nor part in this service in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Holy Ghost wisdom. Amen. In Jesus' name. We started a series last weekend, in case you weren't here, called Flowing with the Holy Spirit. Flowing with the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1. Or page 1, whatever Bible you have, it's definitely page 1. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And notice this, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We know that, obviously, the first two verses that were ever written, that God gave to Moses here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen? How many of you know it wasn't a big bang? God created the heavens and the earth. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, you know, I believe in the big bang theory. God spoke and bam, there it was, you know. Hallelujah. Maybe there was a big bang, but I'll tell you what, God spoke it. God created it. But notice here that the earth initially was without form and void, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. So the earth was covered with water. And it noticed that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Praise God. Way back in the very beginning in Genesis, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit was there, and He was moving. Now something triggered in my spirit as I was meditating on this and studying this, that God loves to move where there's darkness and voidness in a person's life. When you look at your life and say, oh man, that's just a mess, the Holy Ghost is right there. The Holy Spirit is invited. He wants to move and move and move in people's lives wherever there's darkness and there's voidness and there's nothingness in your life, whether it's your family, your finances, your job, your whatever. Amen? The Holy Ghost is right there. Hallelujah. Last week when I came in here, you know, and I just got back from vacation, I was physically exhausted. I mean, we got back late Saturday night, and I got up here and I said, God, I need you this morning. We always need God, you know. But He whispered something in my ear. He says, now, son, remember, I'm here this morning. And He also said that to me again. He reminded me of that when I was out in the foyer there this morning before I came in here, people walking around. He says, now, remember, I'm here in the midst this morning. Amen. All you need is God to be here to make up the difference. You don't have to have 5,000 people here for something to happen. You can have 3 people here, 2 people here. If people are hungry and thirsty and they recognize the presence of God, supernatural things can take place. I believe with all of my heart, those that needed jobs this morning, it's already met. God would not waste His time to say something just for the sake of saying something. He says something because He will bring it to pass. So God, the Spirit of God, verse 2, moved upon the face of the waters. Now we're talking about how to flow with the Holy Spirit. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? You know? Well, the Holy Spirit is not, one thing He's not is an influence. He's not a cloud. He's not an it. He's a person. The Holy Spirit, there's Father, there's Son, and there's Holy Spirit. And notice that the only active member of the Godhead in the earth today, in the earth, I say, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He literally replaced the ministry of Jesus when Jesus left this earth. And we're going to see this morning. Jesus said, it's important and advantageous for you that I leave, because if I don't go, I can't send him to you. So the same spirit that was in Jesus that helped him do what he did on this earth while he was here, all the miracles and things that he spoke by the Father, by the Holy Ghost, that same spirit is here today. And he's all over the earth now. Just like the waters that cover most of the earth, three-fourths of the earth, the Holy Spirit is all over this earth. Amen? But what we want to teach on is how to flow with him. Praise God. So if we don't know as believers, if we don't know how to flow with him, then he can be moving right by us and we don't even know it. It's like the scripture said, God was in this place and we didn't even know it. Well, I don't want to be caught that way. I want to be right in the flow, right in the know what God's doing. Now, last week we talked about, and I'm just reviewing here real quick here, we talked about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, not only is it phrased differently, there's a vast difference between what the way God moved in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. Namely, in the Old Testament, you have every single person that was a servant of God. There were no sons of God in the Old Testament. Okay? They were just servants. They were not born again. They did not have the Holy Spirit in them like you and I do in the New Testament. They were servants of God. They were spiritually dead. Therefore, God had to lead them by outward means. And that's why you had the fire by night and the cloud by day. And everywhere the cloud and the fire went, they followed it and they were following God. Are you with me? And so a lot of people think, boy, I wish God would just deal with me like a burning bush experience and that. You know, well, listen, they were spiritually dead. God had to lead them by outward means. That's why Gideon could put out a fleece. Okay? Put out a fleece of wool and said, okay, Lord, is it your will to me to do this, to make the fleece wet and the ground dry? And then he reversed it. Remember that? But you and I are not supposed to do that in the New Testament. How do you put out a New Testament fleece? Well, Lord, if it's your will for me to go to Africa, have someone knock on the door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon today. That's called a fleece. Well, the devil can send someone to knock on your door in the afternoon and deceive you. Are you with me? Because the devil's there too, and he can botch things up and make it appear like it's God, when in fact it's not God at all. But we saw, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, you don't have to turn there, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, a better way to say it like this, if you're a child of God, you will be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? So we have a better covenant established upon better promises in Hebrews 8, 6. And that covenant, the massive difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that the God that we serve literally comes to dwell on the inside of us. Well, praise God. The God that we serve, amen, we're not through yet. Okay? You may be still waking up. Maybe the coffee didn't do the job, but the Holy Ghost will. Okay? But the Holy Ghost lives and abides and dwells on the inside of you. Well, brother, I just can't feel it. I don't feel anything in there. He didn't ask if you felt it. Is that the truth? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a stomach? How many can feel it? Do you have a liver? How many of you can feel it? How many of you have ever seen it? No, well, you know it's in there. Because if it wasn't in there, you'd be seeing Jesus. Amen? So why is it then when it comes to the biblical things that God says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we're waiting for some feeling like, I don't feel anything. Well, you don't feel your stomach, you don't feel your liver, you don't feel this or that organ, but you know it's in there. You haven't even seen it yet. But God says, I dwell in you. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Paul said 3 times in Corinthians, he says, what? I could almost hear his voice, what? He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're bought with a price. So your body is the temple of God. And you're never, ever, ever, ever alone. Ever. Amen? You're never in a situation where you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm clueless. I'm helpless. I don't have anybody. I'm lonely. No, because when you realize that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are there for you, God, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you cannot lose for anything. The problem is we're learning to do this, okay? I want to come across in a positive manner here, that so many people ignore the Holy Spirit. It's like he's tied and gagged in the basement of their life. He's down there, hey, and you're like, did somebody say something? He's tied and gagged in the basement. You know, the Holy Ghost, he's trying to lead and guide us. We don't want to hear what he has to say. Amen? But if we let him out, we say, all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? It makes life very interesting, exciting. And it lifts you out of the miry clay. It lifts you out of depression. It lifts you out of oppression. And so many people, even believers, are oppressed all the time. Dear God, the only reason that a Christian is oppressed is because they're not listening to the Holy Ghost. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, you will never have a down day in your life again. No, you won't. Well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I know, but the Holy Ghost knows. Amen? So we need to start to practice the presence. I know I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but we need to start to practice the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives and practice His peace. When you're faced, you get a phone call, and it's bad news. And something happens, and all of a sudden, fear starts to hit you. You know? Fear starts attacking you. You know, that's coming from out there. You know what I mean? If you can hear it, feel it hit your mind, not physically speaking, but you can just feel the effects of it, you know. But even when that's happening, something's on the inside of you is trying to communicate to you. The Spirit of God is trying to communicate to you and reveal Himself to you. Okay? Now let's go over to John chapter 14. I want to show you something here about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about how to flow with Him in this life. All right, how to flow with the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 16 through 18. If you don't have a Bible, we'll bring up the scripture here on the screen. But I do encourage you to bring a Bible. It's the best book you'll ever have. It's the best friend you'll ever have is your Bible. That's John 14, verse 16 says, and I will pray, Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter. Now, in the Greek, New Testament was written in Greek, it means this, another comforter of the same kind. I think there are other translations that actually say that, another comforter. What does the Amplified say? Anybody have the Amplified? Okay. Can you bring that up in the Amplified? That? 1 John 14, 16. Let's see what it says here. Okay, I will ask the Father, He will give you another comforter, notice, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that He may remain with you forever. Look at those attributes of the Holy Spirit. He's a counselor, He's a helper, He's an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby. What more do we need when we have that? But number one, He's a comforter. Now, does that mean He'll throw a big blanket on you? No, what that means is this, is that He will speak to you. How do you comfort people? With words. Okay? Someone's been through a rough time, you know, you minister to them, you comfort them with your words. So that means that the Holy Spirit will speak. He has a voice. And He loves to talk to His children. He just absolutely loves it. So, again, verse 16, I will pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Amen? Now, it's one thing if someone's staying with you for a day or two, you know, you make adjustments and so forth, you know, but if they're going to be around for a while, it's like, let's get some things straight here, you know? You know what I'm saying? That belongs to me in the refrigerator or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But God says right here, He says, I'm going to be with you forever. That means He's not a fair-weathered friend. You can have friends in your life that come and go. And you think they're going to be there forever. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it says that he'll abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, and this is talking about the Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Isn't that marvelous right there? That the world can't receive him because they don't see him, neither do they know him. But they can receive. If they receive Jesus, then they can receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that's not some class that you join and, you know, I joined the church, you know, so I'm a Christian. No. Not joining a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a truck. Okay? That doesn't change anything. What makes a person a Christian is, as I say, Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I'm a sinner. I need you. That's all it is. And you say, I need you, Jesus. And when you do that, He sends the Holy Spirit to recreate your human spirit. He comes and He abides and He lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. John 14, go there. Verse 25. We're just going to look at some scriptures this morning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So act as if you've never seen these verses before and see what it does to you. All right, John 14, verse 25, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now he clarifies, who's the Comforter? The Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Underline the word all things. He shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance. And whatsoever I have said unto you, whatsoever I have said unto you, okay. And then he says, peace I leave, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now we don't have to have a troubled heart. There's many believers that have a troubled heart. We don't have to have a troubled heart. A troubled heart is a heart that doesn't recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit. An agitated, disturbed heart, irritated, is a heart. No condemnation, we're just saying this is just the way it is. When I have a troubled heart, I'm not recognized. Have I ever had a troubled heart? Yeah. More times than I'd like to think. But I'm learning. I'm learning to go right to the Comforter. All right? You get bad news. Something happens. Who do you run to? You run to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Ghost, what do you have to say about this? You speak to me. You speak the truth to me. And it says He is the Spirit of truth. Now, people can lie. They can say things that are not true. But the Holy Ghost can never lie. There's no lie in Him. So what He tells you is the absolute total truth 100% of the time. So if He says you're smart, you better believe it. If He says you're going to be okay, you better believe it because He cannot lie. He doesn't dangle the carrot out there to you and say, you know, I'm going to take care of you. Don't you worry. And then you get beat up bad, you know. No, if He says you're going to be all right, you're going to be all right. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, all it takes is one word sometimes from God. That's all it takes is just one word. All He told Peter was come. That one word was enough power to sustain him walking on top of the H2O. One word. All He said was come. See, God's Word has sustaining power in it that will lift you up above the elements, above the natural circumstances. That's why it's impossible for me to get depressed if I'm listening to God and listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, are we going to make mistakes sometimes? Yeah, sure. Okay. We're not prophesying that. That's just sometimes that happens. But that's why we have a Holy Spirit that can help us. And even if we've made mistakes and done things that weren't right. You know, we were right in our heart, but wrong in our head. God can still help us. Okay? Alrighty. Notice it says the 26, it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Let's focus on that for a minute. The Holy Spirit, we're talking about how to flow with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. You know, how many of you have ever read a book before? Raise your hand. Two books. All right. I know when I was growing up, my sister, she was a book fanatic. I mean, every book she could get her hands on. Now, this is before we were saved and everything, but she would get these novels and everything. I had zero interest in reading those things. I mean, it was, you know, it's like torturous to me. But she would sit up in her room and just read those books. Now she's hooked to the Word now, you know, and they're in the ministry, her and her husband. But she, but, you know, of all the books that I've ever read, I've not known many of the authors personally. You know what I mean? You read a book, well, that was a good book. You recommend it to a friend, you know, they read it. Do you know the author? No, but I like his book. Now, the Bible is the only book that you can read where the author lives on the inside of you. Think about that. Who wrote the Bible? The Bible says holy men of old wrote as they were moved, spoken, as they were moved by the what? By the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us. So holy men and women wrote things and jotted things down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So as you're reading the Word of God, you have a built-in tutor on the inside of you that will help you understand a particular verse or a chapter or whatever you're trying to understand. So here's what I do. You can, Wigglesworth said it like this. You know, he got 24 people raised from the dead under his ministry. I would say he has some results. Yeah. All right. He said some people read the Bible in Hebrew, some read it in Greek. He says, but I read it in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So what's he saying? He said the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, can take a verse, you know, and enlighten your understanding in that verse where you know, it's like putting on a pair of glasses. You know what I'm saying? I got these sunglasses that are like high definition. I put them on, and I mean, they're pretty expensive actually. And you put them on, and everything gets so clear and so nice. You could take a cloudy day and you put them on, it looks really nice. You know what I'm saying? Well, the Holy Spirit, it's like putting glasses on, and you read the Word and you see things that you haven't seen before. Because the author, the Holy Ghost, the teacher, where does he live? He lives on the inside of you. So you could actually do it like this. You could say, you're reading a chapter, okay? I encourage you to read like a chapter a day. Go to the New Testament, read one chapter a day, okay? It takes you just a couple of minutes, but read one chapter. But when you do that, don't just do it in the natural. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm about to read Ephesians chapter 3, so I'm asking you right now, open the eyes of my understanding. Help me to see things in this chapter, in chapter 3 of Ephesians, I haven't seen before. And then read it real slow. Just methodically read it real slow. Read it slow. He might even have you read it in a different translation even. And all of a sudden, something is revealed to you. One thought. I was reading through Matthew last year, and every single time I'd read the chapter, I said there would be something that was revealed to me out of that chapter, like chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And so I would type it in my iPad, just write it down. You know, I still have it on there today. And the Holy Spirit can show you things that you haven't seen before. Okay? So He'll teach you all things. And notice this. Verse 26, He will bring all things to what? Your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit cannot bring something to your remembrance that you haven't first heard. Okay? He says, I'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, now that tells me this. Just stay with me now. That when you're reading the Word of God sometimes, it may seem like you're not getting anything. But you're making deposits on the inside of you that will be there for eternity. And at the time of need, the Holy Ghost can bring up those scriptures when you need them at that moment. Okay? Let's go to John 16, if you would. John 16. Hallelujah. Are you learning this morning? You know, we're supposed to learn in church. You know, it's not just a religious experience, but we're actually supposed to learn when we come to church. Get some stuff. Learn some stuff. Amen? It's like going to Bible school. You learn some stuff. You can apply it in your life. Listen, you don't have to be in full-time ministry to do what I'm talking about here. God wants to get involved. If you're a businessman, you got a business or something, the Lord wants to get right smack in the midst of that business and help you and give you insight like you've never known before. I'm telling you. But until we know that, how can you invite that closest friend to be your business partner to operate with you when we're not used to doing that? Well, today we know that. But John 16, notice in verse 5 it says this. The Lord Jesus said this, "But now I go to him that sent me, but none of you ask me, whither goest thou?" Or in other words, where are you going? "But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Jesus always tells the truth. "It's expedient for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now notice that Jesus said here, we'll read the rest in a minute here, but notice he says, paraphrasing here in verse 5 and 6, Jesus started talking about going his way to the Father. They didn't understand that. And because he was saying that, sorrow, in other words, sadness, started to impact his disciples. They're like, "What do you mean go away? What are you talking about?" They didn't understand. But notice verse 7, it says, "I tell you the truth, it's expedient." I think the Amplified says, "advantageous." "Expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you to live in close fellowship with you." That's Amplified. Live in close fellowship with you. All right, so you got the disciples. You got the 12 disciples. Anytime they needed comfort, who did they go to? They went to Jesus. They asked him questions. You see it throughout the four Gospels. They're asking him questions. Sometimes it was privately, sometimes it was all together. But they would ask him questions, he would answer their questions. All the time. He never ignored them, he would always answer their questions. Now maybe they didn't get it right away, but they always got an answer. It may not have been the answer they wanted, but he always gave them the answer. And he says, "When I leave, I will send you another comforter of the same kind to be with you forever." With you, with you, with you, with you. So all of us have a personal comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. I don't know how God does that, but He does it. He's God. He can do that. But I have access, you have access to the comforter of the church 100% of the time, 24/7. The comforter. It's marvelous. Praise God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were on vacation, and you know, it's pretty cool when you can walk out on a beach at night and look up and it's a clear heaven when the rain's gone. And you actually see the Milky Way. You know what I'm saying? It's a real thing. And you look up and you see there's millions of stars. You actually see more down there because there's no street lights and stuff like that, you know, and city lights. And you look out over the ocean, out of the deep blue, and you look up and you see, I mean, you see not only the stars that are up there, but you see the Milky Way up there. And you see, it's overwhelming. Has anybody ever seen that before? And you look up and you see that. You're like, that's the God that lives on the inside of me. And it, as far as the eye can see, and there's so much more beyond that, all the galaxies and the universe and it's overwhelming. Yet that is the God that made all of that, that lives on the inside of you and me. It's huge. And then driving back home, you know, we took the pretty route, go through the country. And you look out and see these mountains and valleys and cattle and just beautiful, beautiful everywhere you look, you know. That man, my Father made all this, you know. It's not just, wow, that's really cool looking. Look at that, you know. No, my Father made all that. And so you take it personally. It's like, wow. That's why God told Abraham when he said, you're going to have a son. Remember that? You're going to be the father of many nations. And he gave him an illustration. He says, when you look up in the heavens at night and you see the stars, if you can count them, that'll be the number of your descendants. Back in those days, there were no city lights. It was candles. So he saw a lot. And then he says, by the way, when you're on the seashore in the middle of the day and you're catching rays on the seashore, just kidding. And you see the number of sand granules, pieces of sand. He said, if you can count them, that'll be the number of your descendants. So God will always give us object lessons to look at to stimulate our faith to realize how big He is. Amen. You know, we're sitting at the end of a runway, the Pittsburgh airport. You can look out here, see planes taking off, you know. But, you know, just a few years ago, if a plane went over someone's head, they got out of the car and they looked up. I know people that were back in the day when this jet planes came out and everything, people would jump out of their car and say, look at that, you know. Do you see people doing that today? We ignore it. Say, what's that noise out there, you know? But we get so acclimated, we get so used to something that didn't exist for thousands and thousands of years. Don't you know, folks, that we are the generation? The Bible says that knowledge, Daniel the prophet said in the last days, knowledge would increase and men would go to and fro. Mm-hmm. We're living in those days. And really, if you stop and think about it, all the major inventions that has impacted this globe have happened in the last 100 years. Electricity that's harnessed and being able to use, and the automobile, the airplane, the internet, and all this technology. You know, folks, it wasn't there 100 years ago. Are you with me? You and I are the privileged generation that are living now in this time, in this place, to see all this stuff come to pass. And it's like business as usual, you know? Think about the internet, how supernatural that is. Someone, God inspired someone with that idea. Now the gospel can go unhindered around the whole globe just like that. I get emails from people in Africa, from Pakistan and different things that check out our website, and I get emails back from them asking for prayer and things like that. I don't know these people from Adam. Okay? But think about that time frame that we live in right now. Why are we living in that time frame? Because we are the generation, folks, that will see the return of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, He is coming back. Amen. That's right. We are the generation. I believe that we will be alive and we will see. And I'm not getting weird and picking a date or anything like that, but I'm just saying that we're in that season. We're in that time. We just know we're the season. When the winter is here, you know the season. You don't have to look at the calendar. Spring is here, same thing. Summer's here, you know the same thing. We know that we don't know the day or the hour, but we know that the time and the season is at hand. Mm-hmm. It's hand. It's at hand. And the Bible says it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. Men will be eating and drinking, given in marriage and so forth and so on. Business as usual. And then the flood came. He says that'll be the way that it'll be when Jesus, the Son of Man, comes back. It'll be just like business as usual. But all of a sudden, there it is. The rapture takes place. But I'm glad that I'm ready for it. How about you? And all you have to do to be rapture ready is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Yes. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, in the meantime, has been sent here. And the time left that we have here, praise God. Notice it says in verse 7, it says, it's John 16:7. It says, nevertheless, I tell the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and they see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12. Now He's talking to His disciples here. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Do you notice verse 12? Jesus said, I have a lot of things to tell you, but you're not able to handle it right now. Now, he can't say that to us. He was saying that to his disciples because this is prior to the new birth and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, verse 12, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, there's a lot in that 13th verse right there. He will guide you into all truth. Say this after me. The Holy Spirit will guide me into all the truth. Okay. That's what needs to be on our lips. Not like, I don't know what to do. I'm just confused. I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit's not behind that. But what he is behind is what we say right here. He will lead me and he will guide me into all truth. And notice he will show you things to come. Now, sometimes, not always, but this Holy Spirit will reveal some things about the future to you to help you, to not catch you off guard. Amen? First time this ever happened to me was I was sitting in 1978. I was 18 years old. I was sitting in Rudy's submarine shop in Brentwood on Route 51. I'll say, what does that mean to you? Nothing. The building is still there. The business is gone. It's something else now. But I was sitting in there with a friend in 1978. I was 18 years old. I was born again. Jesus was my Lord. I was serving him. Just a teenager. And the Holy Spirit, we're sitting there. This is not a church. We're not, you know, we're not at the pews and stained glass and steeple and all that. I'm sitting in a hoagie shop eating a hoagie. That's not a real spiritual thing. But all of a sudden, I'm with my friend who I had led. His name was Jim, and I led him to the Lord. Had the privilege of leading my best friend to the Lord in high school, and he just got turned on to God. We both did, you know, and we just were buddies, man. I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and it was a Friday night. It was in the fall. I remember that. Football, see, right after a football game. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord told me and spoke to my heart. He says, I said this out loud to my friend. I said, you know, someday I'm going to marry a girl named Lynn. I said, I'm going to marry a girl named Lynn. He looked at me and said, okay. Not much happened after that. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord reminded me of that because it wasn't until about 4 years later that I met her. Okay? And the rest is history. You know what I'm saying? It was supernatural. But I'm sitting there. I mean, the Holy Ghost doesn't just talk in church. He wants to talk to you in your job, your car, your house, your restroom, wherever you're at. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and he wants to talk to you. Are you with me? No, you don't have to be perfect for God to talk to you. Because he's your helper. And if you're in a pit, if you're in a mess, my God, the Holy Ghost is not going to ignore you. If anything, he's going to be right there beside you saying, come on, buddy, come on, I'll help you out. Come on. He's not going to knock you over the head and say, you. He's not going to do that. If you're in a mess, you're in a pit in your life and you feel like, oh, man, I've really screwed up, I've messed up. Guess what? The Holy Ghost is right there. He hasn't left you. He hasn't ignored you. Now, we might have ignored him. But when we realize that no matter what mess that I'm in, God's not there to knock me over the head and condemn me. He's there to lift me up and to help me. Amen. Listen, who hasn't messed up before, right? Seriously. But no matter how tragic you think you're in a situation, man, I've forsaken God, I've done this wrong, I've done that wrong. Listen, God is right there. The Holy Ghost is right there. He wants to help you and lift you back up because he's in love with you. God's not mad at you. He wants to help you. He wants to love you. He wants to brush you off, clean you off, and, you know, and put you back on your feet and say, come on, we can do this. He's an encourager. The Spirit of God's an encourager. And he loves you so much. Wow. The Lord loves you so much that he didn't leave you comfortless. So he will show you things to come. Listen, he's basically talking here. The only sin that the Lord will, the Spirit of God will convict people of is their rejection of Jesus. People don't go to hell for lying. They don't go to hell for stealing. They don't go to hell for committing adultery. The reason a person will go to hell is because they reject Jesus. That's the only way to go to hell is to reject Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost will convict. Do you ever notice that when you carry your Bible, you're in a public place, you know, there's something about that book that will bring conviction to people. I'm telling you. Now, if you get on like a public transit or something, you know, some kind of a bus or a trolley or something like that, you know, or the T, you know, you got people reading all kind of junk, you know, nobody even thinks twice about it. And most of it's trash anyway. But if you get on there and you have a black leather Bible that says Holy Bible on there, it's going to make people pretty nervous unless they're a believer. And you hadn't opened your mouth. You hadn't said anything yet. Now, what is that? The Spirit of God is speaking some things to people. It makes them uncomfortable. So, listen, there are some bugs that run from the light. Did you ever notice that? There's others that are attracted to the light. That's a revelation today. Depends on the condition of a person's heart. If a person's really screwing up and they want to keep screwing up and they want to live that kind of a lifestyle and they don't want to face the facts, they're going to run from that. The light's going to be like, it's kind of like when you go into a dark room in the middle of the night, you turn the light on, it's too much to handle. You ever do that? And your eyes have to get adjusted. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, the only sin that He'll really convict the world of is their rejection of Jesus. But they can receive Him. Now, I wrote down here in conclusion here today, because we're almost out of time here. The Holy Spirit, again, is the only active member of the Godhead in the earth today. And here's what He has been sent to do. So if you're taking notes, just write this down here. And this will be on our, by the way, this sermon will, and last week's sermon will be on our website by tomorrow night. So you can actually go on there, listen to it, or download it for free. Number one. Learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit. Number one, He will guide you into all truth. Okay? The Holy Spirit's job is to guide you into all truth. Well, Pastor, how does He do that? How does He lead me and to guide me into all truth? You have to ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. How do you do that? Just say, Holy Spirit, Father, I ask You right now to guide me, direct me. Amen. In Jesus' name. And He will do that. And you just go about your business, go your way, and expect Him to talk to you. Even if you don't hear anything instantly, right away, don't worry about that. There's been so many times I've asked God for wisdom, I didn't know exactly right then at the moment what to do. But I asked Him, and I went about my business, and before you know it, there it comes. Here comes the wisdom, here comes the direction, here comes the revelation. So He will guide you in all truth. Number two. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Amen? He will speak. So the Holy Spirit has a voice. And you have the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a stranger, they're not going to follow. How do you know the difference between the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of Satan? Satan's voice, not literally where you hear it audibly, but I'm saying when he's talking to you, you're going to have a couple of things happening. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your peace. And fear is always going to be there. Some kind of phobia, fear. Fears can be very subtle sometimes. Fear of rejection, fear of this, fear of that. That's when you know that the enemy is talking to you. But when Jesus and the Holy Ghost start talking to you, there is great peace. There's great peace. It's like my mother used to say. I used to say, Mama, you know, how am I going to know when I meet the right girl? She said, Son, you'll just know it. She had that look in her eyes and shit. You'll just know it. Well, I found out. I know it. Praise God. Now, Lynn didn't tell me to say this morning. I'm just saying this, but, you know. Get some extra points here today. You know what I mean? Just teasing. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. A Holy Ghost will speak to you. He doesn't just talk to pastors. He does. He should. But he talks to the body of Christ. And he will speak to you. What if I make a mistake? Don't worry about it. Just pick yourself back up. And go forward. And maintain a spirit of confidence that you are. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear his voice. Even if you miss it, don't worry about it. Okay? Number three, he will comfort you. There was an evangelist by the name of Sandy Brown, and to this day still, but she was she worked in the nightclubs in Las Vegas years ago, and just a horrendous lifestyle, a lifestyle of sin and corruption. God saved her. She got saved in the midst of all that stuff, you know, and you know, she would come home from work after she got born again. She started waitressing, I think it was. And she came home from work and just, you know, people were mean to her during the day and stuff like that, you know. And just, you know how it is in the world sometimes. And she would sit on the couch and she was just dumb enough to believe the Bible. She said, "Now, Lord, you said in your word the Holy Spirit's the comforter. Now, comfort me." And she would sit there like this. And she's all physically exhausted, had a rough day at work, and she sat down on the couch. "Holy Ghost, comfort me." And she goes, "Every time I would say that, here comes the Holy Spirit, and he starts talking to me. And all of a sudden, I feel refreshed. All of a sudden, I get a smile on my face." Sometimes I just jump up and just spin around. Oh, man, just so excited, because the Holy Ghost is talking to her. Now, she was uneducated and didn't have any formal education, just a terrible, sinful background. But she got saved and recognized the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is there to bring comfort to you. Amen. I'm just so thankful that God can use us. God chooses to use people to bring comfort. Yes, the Holy Spirit will speak to us individually, personally. But yet, God chooses to use people to speak through to us. Amen? And more often than not, the Lord will use a person to bring comfort to you. I trust he's doing that today. That's my heart's prayer. That's my heart's desire, that God will bring strength and comfort and peace, give you a hope and an expected end. I'm not up here teaching you how to fail. You already know how to do that. I'm teaching you how to make it. How to make it. I don't care what you've been through, man. God is bigger than that stuff, and he will help you through it. I know what I'm talking about. He's your comforter. Number four, he will teach you all things. Mechanics, mathematics, whatever you're involved with. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Stand up, Stanley. Praise God. There's an anointing, just as I was saying, that there's an anointing. The Holy Spirit is the most intelligent person that exists in this earth. He's smarter. He makes Einstein look like an idiot. That's how smart he is. He knows everything. And Stanley, the Spirit of God is going to start moving in your heart and in your mind in the area of your job, in the area of your occupation, what you're gifted in. But what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing there's going to be information downloaded from the Holy Ghost to your heart and your mind that's going to help the company that you're working with. And promotion is not far off. Amen? Because your gift that God has put on the inside is going to make room for you, and the intelligence of the Holy Spirit and those inspired ideas are going to start coming to you wave upon wave upon wave. And you're not going to be just like one of the guys that's there. Okay? You're a marked person. You're different. You're set aside. You're consecrated. You're separated. All right? And the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you and give you wisdom and understanding. And you're going to see it even this week. It's going to start to accelerate on the inside of you. You're going to have inspired ideas that are going to come to you. And I don't know what all that entails, but let me tell you something. It is an open heaven over you. And the Lord wants you to know that right now. Okay? Hallelujah. 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 That's neat how the Holy Spirit just shows up when you're talking about Him. Amen. He'll teach you all things. Number five, He'll bring all things to your remembrance. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. You lose something. Something that's a value to you. Lord, where is that? Show me. Show me. I had somebody call me. They're not here today. Somebody contacted me this week on the phone and said, Pastor, it works. And they said, I lost something. I lost my car keys. And I got all frustrated and started, you know, because I had to go somewhere. I had a real important meeting to go to. And so they said, now, Holy Ghost, where is my car keys? And the Spirit of God showed them instantly where it was. It was in the trash, actually. Wow. Got thrown out with something else. Well, that sure saved a lot of heartache. And so the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. And He can show you things that you don't even know. So number six, He will show you things to come. It's kind of interesting when you think about He'll teach you all things. That's present, okay? He'll bring things to your remembrance. That's the past. Okay, He'll bring things to your remembrance. That's the past. Present is He'll teach you all things. And then thirdly, the future, He'll show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit can show you some things to come about the future. Amen? Amen. There's some things God showed me about my future. And to be honest with you, you know, when you put a date on it, you put a year on it, you can really botch things up. You can really mess things up when you try to put your timing on it. We look at this thing here and we look at the calendar on the wall and we think, well, Lord, You spoke something to me. Why didn't it come to pass yet? Well, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Well, that doesn't mean it's going to take 1,000 years. Be of good cover. But let God be God. If He spoke something to you and He revealed something to you, it doesn't matter what happened in the body of Christ, what's going on out there. If God spoke something to you, rest assured, folks, it will come to pass. So just kick back, kick your shoes off, relax, enjoy the ride, and let God do it. We're not Holy Ghost Junior. Joyce Meyer said that one day. She said, I got a revelation. You're not Holy Ghost Junior. In other words, you don't have to try to do this. You don't have to try to make it come to pass. Our job is to trust God. If He spoke to us, then surely He will bring it to pass. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, the last thing He says here, and I'm sure there's other things here, but He says that He will give you peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay? Now, all of us here have had the opportunity. I'm sure we had a show of hands, it would be the same thing, but you ever get bad news before? You ever get a phone call? You ever have a friend talk to you and say, oh, dear Lord, this, you know, well, those words are powerful and those situations are real, but it's not more real than God's Word. We always have to measure things in light of what God's Word says. That's the only way that I know to keep my peace. Okay? Jesus said that for a reason. He says, my peace I'm going to give to you, not as the world giveth. That means the world has a peace to give, but it's not like His peace. The world's peace is, you know, when everything's good, you got money in the bank, kids are doing okay, you know, no one's acting up, then I have peace. Okay? But God says, my peace passes understanding. So in other words, there can be all kind of stuff in the natural going on that would be naturally disturbing to your spiritual heart, your emotions, but we don't have to let that govern us. You can wipe the tears off your face, shake yourself, and get back and say, all right, Lord, You're my peace. I trust You. I don't understand what happened over there, right? But I'll tell you what, Lord, I'm going to trust You right now. I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to believe in You. You'd be surprised when you do that. Boy, you can get your peace back in just a couple of minutes. Amen? Yesterday, you know, I had something happen to me. And I took a prayer drive, and I went out for a good 4 hours or so, you know, and I just, man, I'm telling you, I was just having a good time. And I was out in the country, man. I mean, way out in the country somewhere. in a couple hours from here. And I'm just fellowshipping with God, praying in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, as the Bible says, you know, and just talking, communicating with God. All of a sudden, I looked in my rearview mirror, and there's a white Toyota truck that was tailing me, you know. And I mean, if I would have put my brakes on, it would have smacked right into me. That's how close he was to me. And I'm just caught up in this time of prayer with the Lord. And I checked myself. I thought, wait a minute, I'm going the speed limit here. I'm not going under the speed limit. And so I kind of ducked down. I looked up in the mirror, and I saw this guy was really mad. You know? That means I'm done. And not yet, and all of a sudden my peace was disturbed for a second here. I thought, whoa, what's going on here, you know? And I looked up, and he gave me sign language. You know what I'm talking about? Not just once, but several times. Now, I didn't cut him off. I didn't pull out on him. I was going on a highway, you know what I'm saying? And 35 two-lane road, you know? And it was up near the Zillionople Airport, up in that area up there. And all of a sudden, he starts screaming out the window at me, you know, four-letter words. You know what I'm trying to say? And I see a red light coming up. And I'm telling you, my flesh just rose up for a second here. Man, I'm thinking, man, we're going to duke it out here, you know. So this young whippersnapper, I'll show him what I'm made out of. You know, I'm thinking this, you know. And I mean, he is cursing and swearing and just he had rage, literally rage. He acted as if I killed his mother. That's how outraged this guy was. But here's the thing. I knew that the devil was so upset that I was praying.
Yeah.
Now, I mean pressing into prayer. Okay?
Amen.
And I knew that. The Spirit of God rose up. He says, don't pay it any mind. He goes, that's just the enemy is pressing that man's button, you know? And immediately I just said, Lord, I release that man in Jesus' name, you know? And we came to a red light, and he decided not to get behind me. He pulled over and just went another side street, just took off, you know? And about 30 seconds later, my peace came back. Amen? But boy, that could have, if I was in the flesh, that could have turned out any way you can imagine. Is there a ball bat under my seat, you know, or something, you know? I mean, when someone's that outraged at you like that, you know, have you ever had that happen to you before? I mean, road rage, whatever they call it. I would say demon-possessed rage, you know, but I knew in the midst of that. And it was horrific what I was dealing with at that second. I mean, it was horrific, you know. In fact, I thought a policeman was going to pull him over because I'm going and he's tailing me. And there was a cop pulled right over on the side of the road watching for speeders. And I thought, why don't he pull this guy over? He's tailing me like crazy. And I'm going the speed limit, 35 miles an hour. And, well, that didn't happen. But what was interesting is in the midst of that stuff, now in the past, if I was walking in the flesh, that would have bothered my whole day. I would have let that ruin my whole day. So I would let that man steal my peace for the whole day. And here's a guy that's not saved, not born again, filled with rage, filled with demons. God only knows how much. But I knew that the devil was trying to steal my peace. And I just immediately said, Lord, I forgive that man right now. Send laborers across his path. He needs Jesus bad. You know what I'm saying? And then within 60 seconds, praise God, here come the peace right back. Amen. But the enemy will try. Now, that's a kind of a more of an aggressive type thing. But there are things that the devil will use to try to steal your peace. Little conversations. You'll hear something, you know. But it's so important that you hold on to your peace. Okay? And the way that you do that is by saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Amen? Now, let today, you know, this is the end of the service here today, but it's not the end of our lives. It's not the end of our message. We're going to take this and begin to operate this in our lives this week. Okay? Maybe you had some things happen this week that were disturbing to your mind and your attention and, you know, thoughts or whatever. Conversations came up, whatever, you know, that are discouraging to you. But listen, when you trust Him, When you trust Him, you're trusting the God that made the planets, the stars, the solar system, the earth, and all that's here. And He will not let you down. He will not let you down. Amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed for a minute as we close here. I always like to give folks the opportunity, if they haven't already, to say yes to Jesus. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call anybody forward. I'm not going to call you out. This is totally between you and the Lord. Okay? And I'll pray for all of us together. And obviously you're here this morning, but if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, maybe you've known about Him. Maybe you've gone to church. Or perhaps maybe you knew Him, but you backslid. You went away from Father, from the Lord. Now today there's great mercy and there's great kindness that's waiting here for you, for God to give to you forgiveness, whatever it is that you need. He is here to help you, to strengthen you, and to come and live on the inside of you. It's the greatest life there is. I'm telling you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to be reassured of your salvation experience, maybe you're not sure, but you want to make sure that you are. With the uplifted hand, you're saying, yes, Pastor, I want to make sure that my future is secure, where I'm going. Would you lift your hand up, please? Just lift it up, let it down real quick. No one's looking around except me. Maybe you've gone away from Father's house and the Bible calls a backslider, and now it's you want to get things right with the Lord. Well, praise God, He's here for you. Now I want you to say this with me, all of you that are in this congregation. I want you to say, Dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. I invite Jesus to come into my heart to forgive me of every sin in Jesus' name. Be my Lord and be my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all it takes right there. Praise God. Sweetheart, you got anything before you?
Okay. Can I give a testimony before the
Sure.
fact?
Sure. Come on up here, Ray.
I think most of you guys know I hurt my shoulder and was off work for quite a while. And the fact of the matter is they haven't scheduled me or paid me since April. So pretty much out of work.
Sure.
And you mentioned
sure.
that, so I wanted to give testimony because this past week I'd been through umpteen applications and interviews and stuff like that. I even got turned down by Wendy's. So mm-hmm. I was pretty low. I was, you know, in tears coming home. And Friday morning, the Lord had me get up, get dressed like you're going to work, go to your former employer.
Wow.
So you go, all right. Okay, I did that. Mm-hmm. He and I were talking. That was a dead end. But as we're talking, he gets on the phone. You have to know this guy. He'll just do that. You know, something else came to his mind or something. But he's talking to somebody else that he knows, saying, I'm going to send this guy over. So I did that Friday, and I'm supposed to hear about it tomorrow. And I didn't make mention to you or anything, okay. but he brought it up that there's going to be something moving on the jobs front. So I'm going to go ahead and claim that.
Yes, yes.
That I'll hear this thing tomorrow because basically anything is fine by me, you know, because like I say, I even applied at Wendy's. But
yes.
I want to give that. You said to give testimony. I'm going to go ahead and go do that before the fact.
Father, we thank you so much for Ray. Thank you that his faith is a childlike faith. He trusts you, Lord. Therefore, I thank you that you're opening the perfect doors for him, Lord, better than he could imagine, Father. Thank you for favor that rests upon him in a supernatural way, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hallelujah.